This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by Audible.com. With more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, that includes fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals, for your free audiobook of your choice, including maybe this brand new book from Brandon Sanderson, the highly anticipated sequel to the 2012 bestseller Legion. It's Legion Skin Deep. Go on over to audiblepodcast.com/wow and get a free audiobook now. That's audiblepodcast.com/wow for a free audiobook, and listen to the middle of the show for more information about Legion Skin Deep.
The question is, what are we doing here?
You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 392, and we are the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to. It rhymed. Woohoo!
You don't have to do it.
Weird, right? Joining me today, I'm Scott Johnson. Joining me today, Terpster, hello.
Hello.
Aren't you supposed to be doing charity or something? What's going on over
there?
I
was going to do a charity thing, but I managed to get out of it. Woo!
Oh, thank goodness. Screw yeah, charity,
there's
dude.
I hate more than giving my time away for a good cause.
All right.
If you want to go and support the charity drive, you can do. It's humblebundle.com/yogscast. $25 or more gets you some amazing games and goes towards some great causes. Past that, stay watching this show.
Yeah. I suspect you guys will break all your records again this year, and that'll be great.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Also, Patrick. Hello, Patrick.
Hey, I am here because I have the good taste and sense of not committing to a charity to begin with.
So, yeah, see, that's a smart man's choice.
Wow.
That's when I spend my time on something, it's to get money for myself. That's how I roll.
You selfish French bastard. My gosh. No, I'll bet you Patrick's got three or four charities he's interested in. He's just making this up.
Yeah, I've seen there's the Patrick's yes. for Better Patrick's, and I think there's just one he calls Rent.
Yeah.
But you can donate to any of those.
Sure.
It's good.
Sure.
I usually give a little bit of money every year to Wikipedia and internet consumer advocacy groups.
I see.
Like, you know. Yeah. Stuff like that.
I see. Highfalutin, freaking white collar, white guy stuff. I got it. It's good.
He's keeping the net free for the rest of us. Okay.
Okay.
He's doing the good stuff.
Well, I believe that the internet is a treasure that we have to treasure.
Yeah.
Including for those less fortunate.
Hold it tight and never let it go. So there you go. I like it. All right. Well, screw world hunger and children without homes. We're going to save the internet. It's good to be back. We don't know where Dills is. Probably up late playing with his arena
alive,
preview. Yeah, I assume he's alive. He should be fine. But we'll hopefully he'll pop in. But if not, we will carry on with what we have to do. It's been we didn't have a show last week because of the American holiday, the Thanksgiving weekend, and that all got bumped. So a lot's been going on, and I feel like most of it has been happening, in my case,
in-game. In my garrison.
Well, that's kind of my point. Is this is I guess I want to approach at least some conversation on today's episode about the perspective that I feel like I now have for WoW is so much seen through the glasses or the lenses of the garrison, and I didn't really expect that.
They warned us all along, Scott. They said if we put player housing in, the world will become a ghost town. Mm-hmm. Everyone just stays in their house. And we're like, shut up, Blizzard. What do you know about making games?
Yeah.
Do what I tell you, okay? And sadly, like, you know, not a huge amount is... I don't really go out much anymore.
I mean, I've been raiding... Or not raiding. I've been doing heroics and stuff.
You've gone from staying home in real life to play WoW to staying home in real life to play WoW in your... home in WoW, not going out to, you know, do your wizard chores.
Yeah.
So I have two characters. I've got one at 100, but my other two characters, I've literally just taken them through the starting experience and got them to the garrisons. Mm-hmm. One of them sat at 92 and is on a level 2 garrison, but the other one's just in a level 1 garrison. And now I just like to send their limited number of followers off on missions each day. Mm. And I've left them there, and it's kind of become a little game for me now of like, my one that's level 92 is 3% away from 93, And 92, the whole of that level was pretty much Garrison XP missions. And it's amazing. I kind of want to see if I can do a, you know, 90 to 100 level up through just
well,
doing those.
Let me spoil you the result there. You can.
Yeah.
You totally can. But I don't know if I know I could, but can I resist actually, you know, staying indoors for that long? So yeah, who knows?
I'm having a hard time wanting to do that at all with alts because I more and more.
The thing is, no, Scott, because I mean, do you have any other alts that are level 90?
I have a level 90 shaman and I have a 92 mage. So
have you already logged into those just to get the rested XP taken over? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been playing the mage here and there. I kind of want to get him to level.
So literally the same thing now, but garrison resources. You want to get them so they have a garrison so that all the time garrison resources are accumulating on those accounts because they are really useful. And it's basically like someone giving you free money every day.
Yeah.
And if you log into those
characters, it's not really like that.
Well, it depends what buildings you have, but some of those resources can be converted into some really cool stuff.
Well, sure, but you're okay. The mage, let's use him as an example. He's sitting there right now. He's got his garrison going and it's stuff is accumulating and I'll get in there and check on him. Those things, I mean, yes, I can level through that eventually. I can get enough gear through that to make him, you know, 615 or something down the road through mission objectives and stuff. Never have to take him out and do anything with him. But part of me doesn't want to do another parallel garrison. Like, I feel like this stuff should be more pooled. I want account-wide or at least server-wide character-shared garrison resources. Then it's a real value for me to check on him every day because those garrison resources can go towards GURP and his freaking empire. You know what I mean?
But then you create. I don't know that that's the solution either. I mean, honestly, I'm just approaching it as a. I just want to do what I actually want to do, and I think that's a very healthy game way of approaching the game. So I log into my main character. I do the garrison stuff. You know, I enjoy that immensely. I'm doing almost, you know, every day those. Tasks, but I'm doing them because I want to. If I start thinking, well, I have to get my other characters to 92 to get their garrisons up and get their resources going and all of this, then you're really not doing it because you're having fun. You're doing it because you think you have to. And that's really something I don't want to get into.
About min-maxing enjoyment.
Yeah, exactly.
I like to min-max the amount of money I feel I have coming into those characters.
Quickly.
So when I choose to play them, I'm like, oh, look at this one. It's really easy to set the garrison up on this guy because he's got, you know, 10,000 garrison resources before I even start leveling him.
Yeah, but then and you have so to you log into those characters every 3 or 4 days to get the
resources.
Empty
them out. That's fine. It's nothing.
Yeah.
Takes seconds.
Nothing plus nothing plus nothing equals, as all math experts know, lots of things. So, you know, I'm keeping it relatively simple and doing it like, seriously, I'm doing just what I want. And I really think that it's counterproductive to min-max to that point if you don't feel like you really have to. If the only reason you're doing it is that you're thinking, well, if I'm not doing it, then I'm virtually losing stuff. I really don't think you should bother with it.
But is it a little
bit, enjoy the game.
Is it a little bit weird though to take so here's the disconnect for me. It's not so much that I kind of agree with what you're saying. In fact, I totally agree with it on across all games and all types of entertainment. That's how we should be approaching these things. But when my mage needs to be level to 100 and I do want him to get there, I am doing him a disservice by not augmenting his lifestyle with good garrison management. But then the other part of me says, well, I don't want to do this twice. I don't want to do that two times over just for the sake of doing it. Maybe I'll just run him through normals, then heroics, then raid, whatever.
For example, though, but when you start crafting stuff and you have like Savage Blood, okay, if you don't have a barn on your main, you can have it on your alt. And then that means you can have Savage Blood really easily, which otherwise costs you, you know, 2,000 gold a pop or whatever it's going for on your server. So, I mean, personally, I don't know. I kind of feel like whilst it's not imperative to have multiple garrisons, you definitely see a benefit as a character in terms of what you are then capable to do. So like my engineer to upgrade his goggles needs these 15 Savage Bloods, but for example on that main character I've gone and put a lumber mill in, and I've got an inn, and I've got these other buildings that I can get more enjoyment out of. But in terms of just that kind of farming something quite boring, I can offload that to an alt. And I quite like
that. Yeah, and you're doing that boring thing. I mean, maybe for you it's not boring and then do it, but if it's offloading the thing you think is boring by doing something else that you also think is a chore, you know, it doesn't really make sense, does it?
I just see, like, I'm going to level those characters anyway, so I might as well, in the process of leveling those, get stuff that is still relevant and useful to my main character rather than it just being some form of, I don't know what, you know, just
sure. Yeah,
just
but nothing. You know that, you know, when patch 6.1 comes out, you're going to have better gear anyway, or, you know, 6.2 or
hopefully,
anyway.
Hopefully. I like to think of that.
If that's what
tomorrow,
you want
to
do, just, you know.
Yeah, I think you should go ahead and do it. The idea that
Nike put it well, just do it.
There is some, they were prescient and forward thinking with that slogan. But I think that that there is some value in experiencing the other parts of the garrison that you're not experiencing with your main. So that your main isn't constantly going, well, maybe I'll just shell out a bunch of new cash to see what it would have been like to have stables instead of this other thing. Let your alts maybe experiment with some of that stuff.
So Patrick says he can see me playing the game, and that's very good, Patrick. But I think equally, the stables, for example, you can...
He's in my friends list literally on Battle.net, and he's playing. He's actually playing now.
I'm owning up the Bloodmaw slag mines, so that's fine, don't worry. Yeah. But what I would say is that the stables is something you can actually complete. Like, once you've done those daily quests and you've got those mounts, there's not actually a huge amount more for you. Especially, well, it depends on the class you're playing. Like, for example, I don't suffer from getting dazed while riding around. I'm a tank, that's fine. 20% faster in on my mounts while going through Draenor is not that interesting to me. So then that plot, once I've unlocked those mounts, becomes less, you know, that is less valuable to me. I'd rather have something with a little bit more continued entertainment.
So we can take this as confirmation that those mounts do not go away if you take out the stables. You keep those mounts.
You keep your mounts. Yeah.
All right. That's 100%. Important. Because that's what I want that thing for,
and
that's good to know.
What you can do for that plot and those daily quests, you have a daily quest where you have to, you know, do these like kill things and go kill these things for each of the mounts. But you can actually stack them up, and so you can do all of your mounts and do them that way, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is really fun. It's not a chore. It's something where you can legitimately have a lot of fun. And it doesn't have to be anything more than just, you know, taking the time to do one is the same as doing them all. So I like it.
Here's a tip that a lot of people clearly didn't know about, because I got a lot of feedback on Twitter saying they'd never heard of this and they were all super excited. But a little tip for those who may not be aware. Well, you've got all your stuff out, your building plots are all filled, you're level 3, whatever. Go over there next to Gallywick's Wingleback or whatever his name is, and click on the drafting table. You can now freely, without any cost or time, move your buildings between plots.
Swap them around.
Swap them around in real time. Like,
and you need to do that sometimes. For example, if you do the inn quest with Millhouse Manorstorm, for example, and he's disappeared and you can't hand that quest in, as is quite common with the inn, if you swap the plot from one place to another, they show up again.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So
that's
a great
cool
way to kind of soft reset your garrison to get around a couple of the nuances.
I hadn't thought of it that way. Yeah, I guess you are kind of soft resetting it. But for me, it's also kind of a convenience thing. It's like, well, I do check with Tree Boy over there at the lumber mill quite often, so I'm going to move him where the barracks is, because really I don't have to go check
at
the barracks.
I like that.
And it's much closer. I mean, it's a small, you know, jaunt on a mount, but still, these things make your life
convenient. If you're
convenient.
Always going there, a small jaunt, you know, adds up over time. And I got annoyed about my lumber mill placement because I put it up a hill, and it was always awkward. I wanted to skip my way there, and it ended up I always fell down the valley bit, and it was just a bit of a... I'm a gnome, so it happens.
I'm a huge fan of the lumber mill. It has greatly increased my ability to generate resources, which is great.
Do you have a tree assassin's guise?
No. Tell
so
me more.
Once you get to level 2, you can get something called the Tree Assassin's Guise, and it allows you to disguise yourself as a tree, and more importantly, you break combat on it. So it is one of the most exciting things you can have.
No, this explains it. Okay, real quick, I jumped to a different thing that happened to me the other day. So there was there was another DDoS attack on whatever night it was, I forget. But I was in the middle of a 4-hour spawn camp for, I forgot the name of the mount. Yeah, Poundfist. And we were there forever. And it was great because there were games happening like, let's line up all the Corehound mounts and let's do all these other stupid things. And one of the things that kept happening is in the center of this giant group of people, and we probably crashed things. I don't know what happened to the server, but there were a bunch of trees moving around. Is that what those are?
Yeah, so the trees can't move. When you put on a Tree Assassin's guise, you become a static tree, but you look like a tree. Equally, you can't be targeted and you break combat. If you've got dots on you, you still take damage. So, for example, it depends if you're in a mid-combat, and it only works outdoors, but is one of my favorite griefing items in the history of... one of my favorite competitive PvP items.
So on a... Okay, so sorry, back up. If you're on a PvP server or if you are doing open world PvP, this sounds actually kind of like a unique or, you know, a usable tool.
It's got like a 10-minute cooldown or something ridiculous, so it's not necessarily all that special.
Yeah.
But...
Let me tell you though, 4 hours waiting for that thing to pop, and it never did during that 4 hour time. And I was being very patient, and then the server went down, and the world server went down, and nobody could get in. And then I said, I'm never doing that again. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. So I had a similar thing where I was camping Pound Fist, and there's people running spreadsheets telling you like what servers he's already spawned on. Mm-hmm. So you can do cross realm groups, and using the group finder, it completely changes kind of farming mounts like this. Mm-hmm. And basically, I was on Sylvanas on a realm in a group for 3-4 hours maybe.
Yeah.
And in that time he spawned in a different phase to us.
Oh.
So he can then spawn in your phase afterwards, but basically they kind of divide the server up to ease congestion when you've got a load of people.
Yeah.
And what it means is that he might spawn without spawning. But anyway, so it was a disaster for me.
Like you guys are playing a different game than I am.
All right, look, you're not wrong, and I've decided, okay, so I'm never doing that again. I'll go if somebody says, you know, like down the road, someone will say, oh, he's popping, get over here quick, and it's not so crazy that we can't slow DPS and somebody can still arrive and do it or something. But right now, it's just insane, and part of it for me was, hey, I want to remember what it was like to play EverQuest and camp things for hours.
And you remembered.
Yeah, and wow. I remembered,
again,
and I remember
surely,
why I
surely,
hated
though,
it.
It's like... a molten core, you know, one of those things where you're like, oh yeah, oh, I can't wait to, you know, sit out in the field and we'll camp. And then you actually do it and you realize like, oh, this is terrible. What have I done?
Yeah. I don't want to do that again. I really don't think I will do that again. And my time would have been better spent running heroics. I've got every heroic I've run, I've come out with upgrades. I'm here to tell you, I believe that these are the best heroics they've done since BC, since heroics were introduced.
Yeah.
I don't know what magic is in the air, but they're all really interesting. They're fun to rerun. They're challenging as hell. The stories in them are great. The layouts are unique. Like, we're doing mechanics we haven't seen before. It's really special. I don't know what happened or what changed or what beefed up in that team, but, I don't remember going into this or even during the beta, there being a lot of talk about how, you know, heroics were going to go up a few notches in everybody's mind, but they're so good. This round.
I think equally, obviously, one of the bigger issues has now been fixed with the inquests. I keep saying inquest like it's an inquest.
I know, right?
But the quests from the inn in your garrison that had, you know, people go in and like you kill the first pack and then, you know, you've got the item you need, resulting in a lot of tanks, especially because they get quick queue times, dropping groups straight after they got their item, and was really kind of messing up people's fun. Thankfully, Blizzard's worked in some hotfix love, which has resulted in people now not jumping straight out of the group all the time.
Sure.
You have to complete the instance to keep the item and things like that. But I think that still, for me, pulls me into instances, makes me do it, and now, thankfully, makes other people finish them as well.
Yeah. Well, I also like personal loot a lot. Patrick, what are you doing? Are you doing heroics at all right now?
A little bit. I think I took the advice from the previous expansion and I'm applying it here. I'm, you know, slowing down. Mm. And I'm taking it partly because I have so much work and so much stuff to do that I don't have as much time as I wish to dedicate to WoW. But also I'm just not forcing it. So I've played, I think, a couple of heroics. I only dinged 100 last week.
Oh, wow.
And I only got my level 3 garrison yesterday. And I have a little bit of garrison fright. I'm not sure which building I should put in. And, you know, is it going to be a mistake or that? So I'm probably going to have to go read the Icy Veins guides.
Icy Veins is funny because the Icy Veins thing, so far anyway, those guides are less min-maxy and more like, here are the advantages of each. And you just decide what you think would be more fun.
Well, I think that's obviously the game design shining through there, really. Mm. That's the big thing that we found with this expansion. Is it doesn't matter as much which one you choose. Like, there are some ones that can feel like hard choices, but that still comes down to what you're doing in the game. For example, certain people who are raiding will feel like, oh, well, I have to have this because this allows me to do this thing that I really enjoy in the game. But really, that's just deferred enjoyment. Like, in truly to enjoy something even more so, if you do this other thing, you get more fun stuff.
Yeah.
So I think they've done really well with it. And I think I agree with you in terms of heroics being really phenomenal. And I think that garrison level 3 was kind of horrible for me in that I hit 100 far well before I had enough resources to hit garrison's level 3. And I would have loved to have been able to jump right into it. Little things I didn't think I would care as much about, like I've got a level 3 barracks now, and that's allowed me to have racial guards.
Yeah.
So now my garrison is patrolled by gnomes, and that for me is just so cool. Yeah. And it's one of those things that, you know, you say like, oh, that doesn't really matter, though. That's not going to change your enjoyment of the game. And it actually does. It's something that I've really, really kind of found to be like, I get in there and I really like seeing all these little dudes wandering around. You know, I get a little bit annoyed every now and then when I see a human guard. Like, I go into my mines and they still have the default Stormwind guards there because they're different NPCs that aren't automatically replaced.
Sure.
But otherwise, just really, really cool. And it's these little things.
It's really surprising how cool it shines through on the entirety of the content of the expansion. It's really high quality, including the few heroics I've done. But even the garrisons, I didn't expect to enjoy it that much. I mean, I could just spend all my gaming time in my garrison. I would be fine. But also, another thing that I didn't really realize is the... Wait, I think there's someone at the door. Oh, I have to go open it.
I didn't realize that either.
Come back and cut you off.
Okay. Okay.
That's amazing. That's always good. That's amazing. I love... How at a drop of the hat, he can have one sentence literally turn into another.
So I said I would cut you off.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Go for it.
Bye. Good luck at the door. Oh, you're back. Well, that was quick. What was the door? Who was it?
It's my wife who's bringing back food and groceries.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh,
come on. I'm trying to work here.
That's exactly what I told her. Yes, I'm working, talking to Scott and Mark.
Yeah.
You also have these missions that you have to do from the garrisons, which are, you know, you have the dailies and I think maybe even weeklies. I'm not even sure. But like, you get into your garrison, you get into your castle, which, by the way, is awesome. When King, you know, Varian Wrynn was looking at me in that cinematic and he was like, thanks to you, General, we have made a foothold on Draenor. And I was like, yes, my king, I shall go and defeat our enemies for you.
Wow.
And so you have these missions, which aren't just, it's not just dailies, right? You're not just going in and grabbing two quests and or four quests or 10 quests and just doing them in a routine manner. You're going into a mini adventure. You know, you have to go in and do this and that. And there's progression and there's a quest line that makes sense. And like, even that feels fully realized in a way that makes the previous versions lackluster. Mm-hmm. So even that I've been really impressed with.
It's kind of the Apple way, isn't it? Comparing it to Apple, it's like, hey, the iPad this year is insane. It's amazing. Look at this thing. And then the next fall, they come out with one and you go, well, shite. The other one looks like a doorstop now. I don't want that thing, that dirty piece of crap anymore. And this is the first time where I've really felt an abrupt rise in quality. The reviews are sort of reflecting this, but it's not that it was junk, but it's not like these expansions have been crap. It's just that they've all kind of taken this linear path.
More formulae.
Sure.
And even though this is still the same thing, it's polished to an extent that it wasn't before. Mm. And honestly, even the reviews that had early scores maybe a couple of days after the game came out, even though you could test them in the beta, it's not exactly the same. I think most people hadn't realized how deep-seated the improvements were. And at, you know, all the different levels of improvement there was in the game. As I was saying, even those, what is essentially daily quest hubs reformatted and repurposed are super compelling as well.
Yeah, you know? It's just an interesting remix. But also, I remember this and kind of now regret this sentiment, but I remember sitting at BlizzCon 2013. It was me, my wife, and Jeff Cannata in the row. And Jeff leans over to me after they showed the in-game kind of teaser for Warlords. It was the first we'd heard that this was the expansion. There were rumors about the name, but we didn't know anything else about it. And he leans over and he goes, "What do you think?" And I said, "I don't know. It seems like that's kind of phoned in, and I don't. This seems weak to me, and less epic."
It gets like 3 Scots out of 5.
Yeah, I was being real snarky about it. Like, I really didn't have any kind of great expectation. Now, you know, as the event went along, we learned more, and it was more compelling, but. At first, I was just kind of, yeah, all right, I guess we're not going to do something as big and sweeping as, say, Pandaria was. And I couldn't have been more wrong. And I'm not sure that wasn't by design for them to, I mean, they want to hype the game up and they want people to be believers and get excited about it. But I think for a long time there, it wasn't real clear that this was anything more than, we kind of want to retcon our own story because now it's gotten too weird and big and we kind of want to go back and... You know, I feel like they kept it more subtle in the early days of what this thing was supposed to be, and what it became is the best thing they've done, and it still kind of boggles me just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Blizzard isn't one for kind of tooting their own horn too much, really, and you know, they don't. Well, maybe they are, but I think you look at Warlords has just recaptured that Warcraft feeling for so many. Mm. And I think it's done far more than anyone had hoped, as evidenced by the kind of return of 10 million players and such.
Yeah.
It is just something special that no one really understands, or maybe they do understand, but I think the fact that we're here with Grom, we're back with the orcs, this is all about getting back to where it started, you know, 10 years in, 20 years of Warcraft. And here we are now, you know, kind of back where it all began with the orcs right before the Horde kind of drank the blood and came through the portal. But hang on, let's reimagine that today. What is Warcraft and, you know, what is that today in today's world?
But, you know, while I agree that there are story and lore elements to the enjoyment we're getting out of the game, I would argue that most of the improvements in quality comes from the gameplay design and the gameplay elements. So that could have happened in pretty much any setting. So of course it's enhanced by all of those familiar characters and the return to Warcraft's origins. But what's really, really core to the experience is gameplay that is not linked to it. And I don't know that they knew they were going to be able to be that successful, you know, ahead of time. You were talking about BlizzCon last year, Scott. It's not like they were saying, all right, this time we're going to make a good expansion, unlike those other times, right?
Right.
There wasn't anything to discover and to, you know, to find out that, oh, they mean they're going to do a good one. So they always try to do the best thing they can. Maybe there were, you know, different directions they were exploring this time, but I think they can. They hit a home run on this one.
maybe some of it's
Americans will understand,
and some of it may be luck, like a confluence of things just came together. There's more luck in this one than we think. RNG is
maybe
on their
luck,
side.
But I think it's a confluence of everything going well. You know, the nostalgia, the setting, the gameplay, which is outstanding. You know, everything is working out for this expansion.
Yeah.
And I guess my point is, I think they might have been getting the right settings on the way they want to change the game and improve the game and make things different and keep things familiar at the same time. And I'm wondering if they haven't found the right formula. and that they won't be able to continue this in the next expansion and the one after that by changing just enough and making things just different enough that they feel fresh while keeping the familiar setting.
Yeah. I mean, one thing alone that got me to actually do PvP in the first time in forever was to make it so that gear is the good gear no matter where you go. Like, just that one little change makes me realize I don't have to double gear a character or double...
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I know I can min-max in ways and things like that, but still, you know, it's like I can just go play.
I think related to the garrison talk we were having earlier, there's a little bit of that as well. They've improved the quality of life so much by not doing any of that, you know, by not having all of those multiple gears and stuff like that. Mm. So why, and we're so happy about it. So I wouldn't want to dip back into it, you know, by min-maxing all my alts with garrisons and resources. And I think you're capturing the reasoning, Scott, a little bit better than I did.
Well, it's okay, because I heard a servant robot beep in your house. What was that? Was that a phone? You guys have funny phones over there.
It's a doorbell.
Yeah, it is. And I ordered something from Amazon with a same-day delivery.
Oh,
wow. Look at that. Just as a tech review.
Oh, and that's not it. That's the groceries again.
Of course it's not here.
You guys, there's food coming in left and right. All right. Well, they did do an AMA yesterday. Let's talk about some of the key points that came out of this Reddit AMA. I want to say there was like 6 or 7 devs there.
Corey and
Alinka and freaking Isakostas. Everybody. The whole world was there, it seemed like. And let's see, key points. Oh, yeah, here's a couple of the questions that came out, some of the answers, and we can discuss these as needed. One of the questions was, when do we get new heirloom systems? And they say they have these all ready to go for 6.1.0. At least that's the plan. So
that's the cross-character heirloom.
Yeah, like the toy box, but for heirlooms, correct, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. So that's coming. Did not get shelved. It's just going to come in that patch. Next question
along with a dance studio and flying mounts in Winter's grasp.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. They were going to... That never did happen, did it?
No. But it doesn't really matter.
No. We don't care now, do we? Do you tend to concern yourself with economics other than gold sinks, or simply let the market do as it thinks best? I think that's a really great philosophical question. The answer came back, definitely agree we need to do more things players can use core gathering materials for. In retrospect, we would have liked... for there to have been more crafted items that use those materials without requiring the time-gated resources. So this problem is something we're hoping to address going forward. I would like to extend that discussion and just say, if there is a problem, and we got a call about this later so we can address it even more there, but the garrisons kind of, have they or have they not, in your estimation?
They've killed gathering materials. They've killed mining.
Yeah,
mining,
destroyed it.
Mining's ridiculous. I am a miner.
A little bit.
Well, a little bit. Patrick, you can't go to an auction house and sell your hooch anymore. It's just flat.
So in my opinion, my humble opinion, the problem is the one there. The garrisons is the easy symptom to point to, but I think the problem is the one they're outlining in their answer. It's that professions don't need enough resources to warrant garrisons plus gathering in the real world, in the outside world.
Sure.
So there isn't enough stuff to craft with professions is the real problem.
Meaningful, sellable stuff. Yeah, like things that, because the economy right now is kind of jacked up. Like the auction house, all the mats for everything are way too cheap.
Yeah, it's tricky. Like I said, you know, Savage Blood is very expensive because it makes really useful stuff. The problem is that the readily available resources from your garrison, you just over-generate them. So there's no value outside of, you know, what you can use, and currently you can't use that much. Mm. You know, that's the thing. I have thousands of ore with nothing to do with it, really. Yeah. It's just sat in my reagent bank, just not taking up space.
They don't even say how many you have now when you go to craft something.
Exactly, it's just an asterisk. I don't know what's going on there, but...
Weird.
It's fine.
But it's because you don't have anything to use them on, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, that is the issue, definitely. But and if they introduce enough good things, not just all of a sudden now this takes a million ore to make, then that could be a really useful addition to the game.
Yeah, it's an odd. It's
really tricky. It's really tricky as well, because if you switch it to, well, now the good, you know, it everything takes a million ore, then you basically render the garrison's gathering plots useless. So it's also difficult. I don't think that is the answer either. I don't know what the answer is, but maybe more. The problem is the economy. So what you need is for professions, for crafters, to be able to generate money with what they craft so that they buy gathered materials so that those guys can also get money. So what do you do to get the professions to make stuff that sells?
Sure.
Without influencing the fact that the only stuff that you want is the one from the professions, because it's so much better than what you get everywhere else.
It's a hard challenge. I don't know how they fix that. I do know one thing I hope comes from all of this extra ore and crap that I can't use. I need like a guild type storage a bank type storage thing in my garrison. Oh, hi, everyone. Don't mind me. Just bumping in here real quick to tell you about our friends at audiblepodcast.com/wow. It's Audible, man. It's Audible. Love Audible. So many great books to listen to. So many cool things. Very excited that right now, between December 6th and December 20th, they want to make kind of a big deal about a local author, a guy that we love around here. And you know him because you like fantasy books. It's Brandon Sanderson, everybody. Lives like 20 minutes from me. I don't know him. I wish I did. We're trying to get him to Nerdtacular one of these years. And he had a really great book in 2012 called Legion. It was a bestseller, did really well. And what do you know? A sequel is here. Legion Skin Deep. It's narrated by Oliver Wyman. He's narrated over 150 titles on the site. So that guy gets some work done, I'll tell you that. They're offering this book for free. Anybody who goes and checks it out between the 6th and 20th of December, that's this month, all you do is go to go to audible.com/legion. And this is for new and existing users. You can go get that book. And it's free. Now, I recommend it. Suggest you go download it and get it for free. Again, audible.com/legion. Or if you just want to get any book of your choice, let's say you don't like that one, that's fine. You want something else? There's plenty to choose from. Go to audiblepodcast.com/wow. Get a free audiobook today on us. Big thanks to audible.com. Not void storage, but something like straight up just crap storage. I need a place to put these runes, to put these bones, to put these things that are just taking up room.
If you get a storehouse, you can get bank access in your garrison,
so then you
can use your player bank and reagent bank and guild bank as well.
Yeah.
But it's obviously, again, that question of, do you want to keep them? And if you don't want to keep them, then get rid of them.
Or is that
for
the
a lot
only...
of people, I think for me, the problem with mining is I have more minerals just through my garrison alone than I know what to do with, so I have a dead profession. But that profession's been part of my character for 10 years. I've always been a minor engineer on this character. So it becomes that little bit strange when you have that, you know, that scenario now, sure. I guess.
Or let a salvage yard convert this overage to something, you know?
Yeah, that would be great. You know, if I can convert, you know, stacks of 200 into garrison resources or into follower gear, you know, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. Let's see, another question here. What is the deal currently, excuse me, with your stance to flying? Any new developments or insights? It says, we have more to announce about our 6.1 patch plans in the very new future, but as the focus of our in-game outdoor content remains in the main Draenor zones, our reasoning for disallowing flight in 6.0 continue to apply in 6.1. That means, to a lot of consternation out there, no flying in 6.1.
Really? Who is concerned?
A bunch of people don't like it. They're like, look, I hit 100.
No,
look, I've gone.
No, it's so much
I've
better.
I've never
not
heard of anyone who didn't like
the game.
Maybe
better.
You know, towards the end of the expansion, when okay, we've done everything a million times, and you know, and yeah. I'm sure Scott, I'm sure some people will dislike it, because you'll always find some people who dislike, you know, anything if you look for them.
Yeah. You mean open Twitter. Got it. Yeah.
Sorry?
I was going to say, by that, you mean open Twitter.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously anyone has a voice. So what I'm saying here is you'll always find someone who doesn't like something, who doesn't like the thing you're talking about, no matter what that thing is.
No,
In this case, I haven't, maybe I'm not, you know, I'm not listening to the right people, but I haven't heard a lot of people, most of the voices I've heard have been saying, yeah, you know, it's actually better. It's more enjoyable. So.
Oh, I am in that camp. I'm of that belief, but here's the problem. Mm-hmm. I think this is the problem. I could be wrong, but in the past, there was always a plan. There was always cold weather flying when you hit 80. There was all, or whatever it was then. Yeah, 80. There was always, you know, in BC, it 70. Was when you got to the end of thing and had a bunch of money, then you could afford it. In Pandaria, it was when you capped at the level and could get the new flying ability. There was always an end game to when you could fly. This, they've just been mysterious since day one, since BlizzCon 2013's episode of The Instance, well, and Greg announced
they've
it.
They've said that flying was probably the one, I think it was Pardo who was saying this, it was probably the one game design decision that he regretted, or that they regretted as a team, because it changes gameplay so fundamentally, meaning that you can just, you know, jump in, jump out into any quest, so there's no... Well, we all know the disadvantages of flying. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if they were thinking, keeping their options open, you know, and thinking, you know what, if it doesn't, you know, if people aren't too pissed off about it, let's just keep, you know, not flying as the standard. Yeah, exactly. Until we can't push it anymore. Maybe by the end of the expansion, we'll agree, you know, we'll authorize it, and maybe not. Maybe going forward, we're not going to have flying except in specific places and zones, and maybe.
I just wish they'd come out and say, you know, it's just something, because I know so much of the world is so timeless isled out, right? Like, it's got these weird tight ropes you got to get up on. Tight ropes, what I meant to say, not type ropes twice, but get up on and get to a piece of treasure. I'm using Handy Notes now, which is amazing. And it tells you where everything is. And I've spent hours just hunting down stuff, and it's great. I really like the exploration of it. We've talked about this on the show before. I'm fine with all of that. It just seems like at some point there should be some threshold where you're like, all right, I've done all of it. Now it's just inconvenient for me to be able to jump to one place to another, to get to Nagrand and hurry up and get down to that world boss. So I think
there's ways they can create shortcuts to zones, but I don't feel like the answer to is flying. I think flying, like I said, changes questing, and questing has been so much better in this expansion because they can control that experience. It's like me making a if I make a shop, for example, and I can dictate the route you take through that shop, I can make sure that you always see these fantastic offers and bargains, and you come out going like, that shop was fantastic. Whereas if you can jump up and go in places that you're probably not meant to be in at that moment, or if you bypass the explanation area, I don't know, my analogy falls short. But you know,
it started well. It was good in the beginning. Yeah. Then you sort of lost yourself.
But you're not going to have, you know, the optimum experience.
Right.
Whereas the hope is that by Blizzard, you know, disabling flying, you are at their every whim when it comes to your direction in Draenor. And you have to, you know, navigate around. You have to go on foot. Everything feels faster and more epic. It is honestly a better experience.
Here's a question for you.
It is a little bit the two sides of the same coin. Sure. Meaning, you can't really praise the new questing and the experience of the game as a whole, saying, "Oh, it's so much better," and then say, "But I really want to fly."
Yeah.
Because if you add one, you change the other. So. Yeah.
So here's the question for you. Here's one of the things that just hit me the other day while I was waiting for 4 hours with nothing to show for it for Poundfist. Once you get Poundfist or any of these epic mounts, which are amazing, they're cool. I love the concept, and I think it's great for those who want to camp that stuff out. I just don't think I will. But my point is, once you get Poundfist, the most epic looking crazy thing rolling around town.
It is really cool.
You are now stuck on the ground forever with that mount. When flying does come, you're not going to use them very often, if indeed flying does come. Maybe this is an argument toward not ever having flying in Draenor.
Well, equally though, just mounts in general. Like, how cool in terms of kind of fantasy, I guess fantasy genres and, you know, everything, like Shadowflanks, for example, is a named horse that's really cool, got a load of mythos behind him. It's cool. None of my mounts have that because they're on a random rotation, or I might, you know, I feel like at the moment I'm running around in my Sky Golem because it makes herbing easy. Yeah. But, you know, I might, for example, really like my other horse that I never use. But that's the reality there is, you know, mounts have become like different pairs of shoes. You know, you've got several sets and several, you know, pairs that you wear and enjoy. But that doesn't necessarily, they're not partners or companions.
They're special. Just, yeah.
They're things.
Yeah.
And you collect, you know, hundreds of them, and then you get more of them as a reward for getting so many. It doesn't have that same bond. And I think hunters specifically, with their pets,
yeah.
You know, hunters, if you have, you know, a million pets, you lose the bond between, you know, GURP and Henry.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if you could just summon any pet or any, you could temporary tame like a almost like a warlock kind of with a demon that they've got and they've just managed to just kind of enslave it for a period of time.
Sure. Yeah, I wouldn't be I would hate that. I mean, here's the perfect solution for hunters. This is Blizzard, if you're listening, here's what you need to do. You need to make it so we can mount all our pets. And I don't mean in the way Terpster's thinking.
Not in a sex way, but you can, for example, with the stable.
Yeah.
I've seen people because the stable allows you to mount. To capture these different mounts. Hunters can also tame those mounts. Simon at work, he's a hunter, but his pet is the mount that he rides around on as well.
Yeah.
You know, sadly, when he's on his mount, he has two lots of them. But that's kind of cool. I like that.
It is cool. I would love to ride Henry around. In fact, I always wanted that. Was it not Zangarmarsh? I forget where that drop happened. It was one of the jungle zone, one of the like 3.1 dungeons. Anyway, it dropped that.
All right.
That tiger. Armored tiger. And
What was it? The spectral tiger. Not Angoro. What was the talent? No, what was the one in Northrend?
I don't remember.
Anyway. You know, the crater.
That one looked just like Henry. It was like the spitting image. And then my idea was, if I ever got that, I would just mount him when I wanted to and fought with him when I didn't. And
yeah, that'd be cool.
You know, like a true love affair. All right.
Happens to the best of us.
Well, we got some interesting bit here that dropped about DPS queues, which do suck continually. I can attest to this. They're terrible. I try to take a tank friend wherever I go because holy hell.
It's great. People can't be mean to me because I'm insta-queue, man.
Yeah,
so it's everyone awesome. Has to love me.
It's amazing.
Fantastic. Yeah, I actually got in a queue with a tank that was a complete idiot. Complete idiot. And like he was actually actively aggravating the group.
Yeah.
And I think it was coming from this sense that, well, I'm the tank. What are they going to do? Kick me?
Yeah.
And so we kicked him.
Good.
I would have loved to have seen the face on that guy at that point.
Yeah.
It was like,
how could they possibly kick me? Yeah.
It was funny.
Healers feel that way too sometimes. But anyway, they said this. We do have some ideas on how we can significantly improve DPS queue times. They will take some time for us to make it happen. For example, we could potentially allow another DPS in a dungeon and use scaling technology like they did with raids to accommodate both 5 and 6 player groups for them. In other words, you could end up with more than just 5 players in a dungeon.
Yeah. And that's kind of the kind of thing that Blizzard comes up with when you know, once you hear it, it's like, oh, wow, this is amazing. And like, it's a brilliant idea. So simple.
Yeah.
But before you hear it, you're racking your brain like, oh, maybe they could like provide more incentives for whatever this to do that. And maybe you could, and this would be incredible.
It's elegant.
Because
yeah.
When you're doing your dungeon runs through, you know, the dungeon finder, it's not like it's hugely challenging anyway, right? If they don't get the balance just right, it doesn't matter all that much. So that would be a brilliant. And they were very careful to say it's one example of one of the things we're exploring.
Yeah.
We don't know that it is going to happen or when, but it would be amazing. That's the reason the DPS queuing is the reason I leveled my druid before my mage because I was just dreading the queuing on the mage once I had reached max level. Yeah. So
it's why I'm back on my tank. And to be honest with you, I love it. And I'm glad that I've done it just purely because I forgot how much I love this class and everything he does. Mm. The character just looks amazing. I mean, having this big kind of crazy haired gray gnome with these massive goggles on is just fantastic. Yeah. And I think that being a tank is not currently as horrid as it once was. But at the same time, I haven't gone into LFR with him yet. So we'll have to see next week if I feel the same way. I think the heroics are really nicely placed. And with Silver Proving Grounds being that gateway into them, it just means that you don't have to worry about people not knowing how to play their class or what their job is. Yeah.
If they're being idiots, it's really because they're idiots, not because, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not because
you can safely insult them at that point.
Everyone in a heroic should know what they're doing to the point where actually it's a really pleasurable experience.
Do you guys hate the idea of, I'm not saying they'd ever do this, but you know, they've introduced every chance they get, they introduce a hybrid class. Like if you think about it, all the new classes that have ever come out, they're all hybrid. Why?
Because they want more tank. Solve the tanking problem. Yeah.
Exactly. So what if they retconned it and made everybody a tank spec, a fourth little spec? You could just whip out and say, well, the hunter tanking spec kind of is not the best one, but it'll do in a pinch, you know?
No,
if you look at hybrids, sooner... never end well like that. Yeah. Hybrid DPS, it shouldn't be as good as, normal.
They're done with that debate. Yeah. That was a pre-Wrath of the Lich King debate.
The Holy Trinity is here to stay.
The solution is to make everyone a tank.
Yeah, probably not, but
it would be great to have. Yeah. Actually, I hope the next class they do is a ranged tank. That would be super fun to play. At some point, Frost Mages could do that a little bit. Yeah. I don't know that every class being attacked. I mean, the reason I play my mage is because I want to blow stuff up.
Right.
And, you know, I suspect that the rogues are not going to want to be tanking. We want to play those classes. I think evasion most people have a couple cool. of... yeah, I suppose so. But I think most players have a couple of characters at least max level by the end of an expansion usually. And one of them has to be a hybrid class. So if they want to play a tank, they can. The point of it is that you want to play your DPS and blow stuff up and maybe even not be paying so much attention all the time at everything that's happening. Because when you're playing a tank or a healer, you really have to be on the ball. Whereas
I'm
playing
a podcast,
DPS?
It's fine. Yeah, honestly, it depends. It depends on how hard you want to make it. Yeah. What I love though is that they've made the top.
You
DPS
can always blame
warriors.
The healer, I suppose.
Exactly. But Gladiator Stance has made the top DPS spec for warriors one that involves a sword and a shield, and so it's equipped every warrior now. Really, if they want to kind of do their max deeps with the
gladiator
gear that they need, Gladiator Stance. So, it gives you shield charge rather than shield block. But out of high maul, all the DPS charts are showing it's vastly higher than arms and fury. Mm. And I just love the fact that that's...
That's crazy.
Honestly, it's really fun. And, we're still getting the point where I've queued, with it before. And people been like, DPS warrior, come on. Well, you've got your prot gear on. I'm like, no. This is, I'm gladiator.
I feel like that's not going to... be there forever.
I don't know. I honestly feel like it's a great thing because it means that everyone's got the gear. Yeah. So it's like, well, do I want a quick queue? Okay, cool. Well, I'll queue as a tank. Or do I want to do some DPS? Well, I'm in for a longer queue, but I'll do that. I don't have to farm a two-handed weapon or another one-handed weapon.
It's like the lone wolf talent for hunters right now is completely OP compared to the other two
specs. So do you know what the top DPS spec in the game is at the moment? Mm. Marksmanship hunters.
Oh, you're kidding.
They are head and shoulders above every other DPS class currently in the game.
Well, that's why, because they're using that final talent. That final talent means they're petless, but they have all the powers of that pet and they buff the raid with whatever the raid needs. So,
and the fact that you don't have to stand still anymore.
Yeah,
like, holy moly.
And it's
you
janky.
You guys are just unstoppable.
It's janky. And there's an advantage still to standing still because you get that sniper training thing. But the idea that I can go into a raid now and not have a pet out and be a hunter and be top DPS feels a bit like a prot warrior or whatever, getting better DPS than everybody else. You know,
well, it's not exactly, but it's, you know, you can have DPS warriors that are using, you know, sword and board, which I think is cool.
Some of the best
items in the game is a shield.
It's just a hunter without a pet. It's just, I'm still trying to get
my
head around
it. Fine. You're a marksmanship hunter. That's what it's about. You know, you should have no pet all the time.
Yeah, I guess.
I think that it's really fun. And like I said, currently, you know, smashing the DPS charts. Mages are across the board terrible. So it's really fun seeing the first weeks of new raids, because you get they've got the sort of patchwork type DPS race fight, which is like a Ogron something, I forget, but it really has put classes in places that people weren't expecting them to be.
Marksman feels like a mage or a caster. It's really weird right now. I am doing it because I want to, you know, I want to at least contribute the best I can in a group, even though I think Beastmaster is the most fun as far as rotations go right now. But yeah, it feels like a caster, and I'm not sure I'm down with that yet. But that's fine. Hey, whatever, man. A couple more quick things. They said something about integrating garrisons across player accounts. They said, we agree with you on this. We're trying to find ways to make garrisons easier on alts through the patch cycle. So that goes to what we were saying earlier. Perhaps that'll become easier. More shared resources. Who knows?
So, yeah, I mean, historically, the way they've helped you with ads and mounts and stuff like that is by giving you books. So like, you know, with flying and stuff like that, we used to be able to, you know, buy stuff on our main and mail it account wide across to other things like that. So I imagine to make garrisons easier on alts, it isn't about necessarily kind of sharing garrisons, but just being able to, once you bought one pattern, it's unlocked on all of your accounts, rather than, you know, having to still spend 1,000 gold every time.
Yeah. So that's good. My favorite question and answer of the day, though, was this. Hey, love the expansion. How much attention do you pay to the outside community? The instance, WoW Insider, and MMO Champion in particular. The answer came back, I have a long commute. I don't know which dev this was, but he says, I have a long commute.
Helinka.
Was it? And I listen to a lot of community podcasts, specifically The Instance and Convert to Raid. Woo! Take one for the team. CTR and The Instance. Good job, guys.
But that's the problem.
That you're always so proud and quick to point out these things.
It's fun. It's a little one-upmanship here. It's fun.
I imagine it's like the equivalent of an adult listening to a child explain things and them just laughing to themselves, being like, they really think it happens like that. I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
Did you hear
it's
that crazy. Stupid idea they had? Oh, that's a hell of a
thing.
Oh,
my Lord. Yeah.
Let's do a call right now about capital cities.
Hello, Scott, Dills, Terpster, Patrick, and whoever else might be on The Instance this week. This is Ngozik, Earthen Ring, U.S., AIE. Just wanted to ask you a little question about capital cities. Whenever I go to Storm Shield or Warspear, I pretty much see NPCs, tumbleweeds, and not much else. Which may have to do with garrisons, may have to do with moving into Ashran, probably more so garrisons. I just wanted to see, A, is this the experience you're seeing on your server as well? B, if so, do you expect this will continue throughout the expansion? And sort of the main question I'm getting to here, if it does continue, how do you feel this will affect the way future expansions deal with capital cities in general? Thanks. Love the show. Enjoy.
I think we've kind of discussed what it means to have a garrison and how that maybe affects populations in the bigger cities. But I can tell you that my experience so far is that Orgrimmar's a ghost town. Stormwind's a ghost town. Warspear's got decent activity.
Wait, do you play Alliance?
No, I've been through there and seen it. I've seen it with mine own eyes.
When you're raiding it.
Yeah.
No, it's because there's no reason to go to the auction house.
Yeah, exactly.
That's basically the only reason.
But Warspear and what's the other one? The Alliance one over there in Ashran? What's it called?
Stormshield.
It seemed to be just fine. There's enough people running around.
They do okay. Yeah, I think when it comes to reasons to get out there, I just think currently there aren't any. You know, Ashran, you know, I swing by on my way to get owned by the Horde. But past that, my garrison provides all that I need, and that's why I've tailored my garrison to be like that.
Yeah.
You know, I want to have bank access there. I want to be able to transmog there. I don't want to have to go to Ashran all the time.
No.
But even then, at level 3, you get the portals for Ashran, so all of a sudden, it doesn't become that big of a deal.
Oh yeah,
and
some people aren't aware that's up there. By the way, it's up on that tower.
Right at the back in Alliance, next to the mine, up the war tower, or whatever it's called.
Yeah, same for Horde.
Training dummies outside, which is always fun.
Yeah, go do that. Because
I love the mage training dummy. Have you seen that? Yeah. It literally is a training dummy with a stave and a fireball in its hand.
It's awesome. It's your DPS dummy, And they went with this goofy mage thing. And if they don't make a toy that lets you turn into that costume for a period of time, then they're insane.
That'd be good.
The Alliance Chopper is now for sale. It's 100,000 gold and still ugly as hell.
Hey. I mean, it was nice seeing them at BlizzCon, actually seeing them for real.
In real life, and they look pretty, they're formidable.
It looks cool. Yeah. It looks cool. And I think having seen the movie props, you can certainly see how the Alliance sort of insect-like high elf segmented armor is what Lothar's armor and shield and stuff seems to be more like.
Yeah.
So I can get that maybe that's just how Blizzard imagines Alliance armor in real life is, as you know, like that. I just don't like the look of it as much in game. Yeah. I'm quite glad the Horde Chopper won, but like I said, I have to see how many people end up buying it, because it might just be that it is like one of the most exclusive mounts going. But for 100,000 gold, I don't know.
I saw one in Ashran. I killed a dude that was riding it, shot him, and he got off it, and then I murdered him mercilessly.
It's like, you will learn not to waste your money on such frivolous things.
That place is a lag fest. Patrick, you don't think it's so ugly though. You're more of a fan. I think
it's cool. I mean, I'm basing my appreciation on the real version rather than the in-game version.
Yeah.
But no, I like it. I like both of them, honestly. My heart is with the Alliance, so it's a little bit... I think your vision of it is tainted, Scott.
You think so? I don't know. I honestly wanted it to look... all the faction talk on this show aside, I don't really have anything against the Alliance or the aesthetic or any of that. In fact, I think that the overhaul on the look of characters with these new models benefited the Alliance in some amazing ways. I think their garrison is really cool. Like, I don't have any real problems. I just think that is an ugly bike. I think the two tracks look stupid.
You're wrong, Scott. Just live with it.
Oh, yeah, I forgot to play.
Previously on Azeroth Choppers.
There we go. That's our little update on that. Do you guys see the Blood Elf models?
There's
a big stink about the female.
Sarah Jessica Parker, isn't it? She looks, whatever, horse face. I don't know what the accepted vernacular is.
I don't have a problem with her having a little
She's got a long face.
So what? So she does. It's okay.
Someone did a nice kind of mock-up of a fixed one, and it looks far better. It looks much more like the current model.
Well, it's because it's playing with your brain's pattern recognition of what you think an attractive lady is. But the truth is...
It's not necessarily about attractive ladies, Scott.
Yeah.
But it is necessarily about she's got a long face.
Okay. I don't know. I didn't really have a problem with it. I find that kind of pointed, give me all the mana kind of expression kind of faithful to the way that I think of Blood Elves anyway. It didn't really bother me, and everybody wanting to kind of Disneyify it or have perfect feature spacing and perfect, all that. I think that is a little bit weird, to be honest. Like, they didn't do this in any other characters. What's the why?
And
it's all guys.
They're probably the most, besides the humans, they're the most relatable race, I guess. And they're kind of hot and playing on that a little bit. But yeah, the models, I think it's interesting to have them look a little bit different. I don't know if it's intentional, but it's also, I guess I wasn't that overwhelmed by the new designs, because the models were already kind of, on the top tier of the old models.
Yeah.
So the new ones look cool for sure, but it's not as impressive as it was for the previous races.
Yeah, and they confirmed, by the way, in that Q&A, there will be no Worgen or changes to the goblins. They're just fine the way they are. They have no plans to update those, and I don't think they need to. They look fine. Got another call here about how are the graphics.
Hello, Instant Show. I was just wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the Warcraft footage you saw at BlizzCon. Who and what did you see? Did the orcs look more photorealistic than the hobbit orcs? I'm dying to know more details.
Thanks. All right, so we haven't really talked too much about that ending scene or that final scene that Zoe Bowie put there at the end of that trailer. But I guess it's fair to say that that was really impressive. Now, how that works over a two-hour thing, or whether that was so cultivated and perfected for this one shot and doesn't represent the rest of the movie, I don't know. They claim it does. If it does, we're in for something pretty special with the orcs and with things that aren't human in that game, or elves, I guess.
Yeah.
I think you like all good CG, you forget that it's CG.
Yeah.
In that case. And I think
I don't know because the orc was definitely, we talked about it a little bit, but the orc was definitely an orc. He wasn't, you know, he was a Warcraft orc. He wasn't a realistic orc or a humanized orc or something. He was just a massive, enormous beast orc that they are in WoW. And especially in the CGI, you know, intros. And I think that the movie itself is going to have a very fantasy look to it. Again, that's something we said at the BlizzCon special, but I really, now that we've seen the pre-final rendered footage and the final one, I think the footage is going to be, the style, the artistic intent is going to be fantasy, not like Dungeons and Dragons Warcraft fantasy world that is reflected in the imagery.
It's not got Jeremy more Irons than
more than Avatar like fantastical but realistic type of thing. You're going to feel the creatures that are fantastical and inhuman and unhuman and, you know, unnatural in a way. So that's what I would expect. And that's certainly something we saw with the few images of both vistas and characters, like the elves, for example. There was a point where you would see a council, very brief. It was a couple of seconds, maybe less.
Yeah.
But the elves' eyes were glowing. Yeah. Like you had the eyes, not just a little bit glowing in the dark. They were actually like torches, like lamps. It was very different, a very specific.
It felt quite Lich King-y to me, though. That I kind of felt like, oh yeah, it's like when Arthas's eyes light up at the beginning of.
Yeah, they are a little bit like his glowing blue eyes. Yeah, that's true.
But regardless, I think on top of that, they showed scenes of like Dalaran. It seemed floating, and that is something that happens now. So I still don't know quite how it all fits together.
Yeah.
What we're going to see. And yeah, it's very exciting. So having seen the look of it, I think that there's going to be so many hooks that draw us into WoW. Mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see where Blizzard kind of needs it to take us in terms of the game and it being a useful tool in that respect.
I predict a full trailer before July. That's my prediction, because I know the movie's not till early 2016, but I think we get a trailer. I'll bet these May, whatever the May big movie releases, I bet we get a full blown teaser / trailer from Warcraft in the public.
Yeah.
So watch for that. By the way, if you want to be one of the people who has called us on the show, you sure can. 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Or you can email us your attachments and or your emails to theinstance@gmail.com. We got some emails here to read. They're brought to you by DoghouseSystems.com. Amazing new Blizzard system still available. Great Hollywood deals. Hollywood? Holiday is what I meant to say.
No, Hollywood deals.
No Hollywood.
Well.
Yeah.
It's all blockbusters.
Yeah, of course. They get this cool t-shirt they're giving away that I created for them. If you want to see that artwork and more stuff, go to DoghouseSystems.com and use the code Henry for double the memory. And / Blizzard over there for their Blizzard systems. Go Horde, go Alliance, or go home. We got one from Mark, who is playing Phoenix, the Mage, on Willhammer EU. He says, hi, team.
A Fire Mage.
What did I say?
No, I'm just saying, is he a Fire Mage?
Oh, I don't know. It doesn't say. Oh, it should be. You'd hope. You hope he's not ice.
You'd hope so.
I really like Frost right now. That Mage is really fun.
Yeah, it's the top DPS spec for Mages.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that, because it's also...
Which apparently isn't saying much, according to you.
Yeah.
No, exactly.
Yeah. You know, of the tiny insects, the ant can sure lift a lot. Hi, team. Yeah. With subscriber numbers 10 million plus, do you think Blizzard will keep hold of them this time, or will there be a decline back down to 7 or so in a few months' time? Like to hear your thoughts. Love the podcast. There will be a decline. There always is, but I don't think it's nearly the cut that we usually see.
I bet they
stay at 9. That's my guess. They lose a million.
Maybe. I don't know. So obviously the number it was before was after almost a year or more than a year without any new content. So I'm guessing it won't go back that low. But it's also, I think people have gotten into the habit of coming back for an expansion and then playing for, you know, a couple of months, maybe 3, and then leaving and then coming back for the next expansion. So I wouldn't be surprised if it dips a little bit. On the other hand, I'm wondering how high above the 10 million mark the game is has gotten already and will get in the, you know, with the holiday season. I'm wondering if they're not keeping that number. Maybe it, you know, it's at 10.5 or something like that, and keeping that number so that the dip that inevitably comes afterwards seems less, you know, less big.
Massive. Yeah, I can see that. Actually, yeah, a good tactic.
Yeah,
I think it would be a pretty clever trick on their part.
I agree.
We don't have clever people like you working for them anymore, though, Patrick. So,
well, that's why I'm casually, you know, suggesting.
I'm just dropping it in there because Scott. Yeah. I'm not sure if you've heard actually, but some of them listen to us on their commute.
Yeah, I've heard about this. I've heard about this. Yeah, there's a rumor.
I think you should make a big deal of that fact in the next show.
You should. That'd be good, actually.
I just like that they listen. They're super cool guys, and it's an honor that they listen.
I like it too. Honestly, I'm very happy that they're.
Yeah, but it's not cool to like it. So yeah, whatever, Scott.
We've been at this for a while, and it's just not, you know, it's nice. It's nice to know that there's something there. Greetings, says final email from Beta Taste Hunt. Whatever, Dwarven Hunter and the Guild Scourge of the Earth. One. Yeah, say that one five times fast. On the realm, Azrul Nurub. I can never say that one.
You got this.
Greetings.
Azrul Nurub.
Thank you.
Isn't it?
That's fine.
Yeah, that is correct.
Sure,
yeah.
Why not? Greetings. These are my submissions for the PTSD acronym fun.
Anyway, oh, yeah, cool. Yeah, I forgot about this.
Gave us six
That's
of these.
Excellent.
He says, part-time dungeon studies. A zero-credit college minor earned by college student WoW players. Two, prep school dungeon training. Three, Draenei Pandarian troll syndicate. Four, damage per second team. five, professional dragon training school. Six, special purpose development team. Those are his suggestions. We got others. Most of them tried to be dirty in some way.
Oh, that seems better.
Yeah.
You get extra points for that in my book.
Yeah. The word sex, penis, and testicle.
That's
penis, true. Testicle, sex, and douchebag. I don't know.
Wow.
I liked prep school dungeon training because that's what I intend to put my children through once I have them.
Yeah. Get on that.
And special purpose development team. It's like it's mysterious, but what are they really working on? It's like we're some kind of special department in the embassy, you know, that no one really knows what we do, but we do. don't ask. It's special purpose.
Yeah, you don't want to know.
You know, it'd be a bad guild name. A terrible guild name would be Damage Per Second Team. That'd be a guild.
I like that.
A guild you just wouldn't trust. They'd just be annoying.
No, it's the guild that has, you know, you have these weird guilds where they're like, we'll only have gnomes or, you know, we're all just warriors. And in this case, they wouldn't have any tanks or healers.
You just described two utopian ideals for Terpster. All gnomes, all warriors.
That's amazing.
Yeah, brilliant.
There you go. Everyone's going to love this.
Well, that is the show, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Again, if you want to be a part of the conversation and hear your call or have your email read, 801-471-0462 or theinstance@gmail.com. Terpster, remind people again where they can find this charity today.
It's humblebundle.com/yogscast, and you can basically find that all the time.
Yeah, there. You're going to be featured a bunch. Are you going to be on there like last year?
Yeah. I've got a couple of days. I can't remember when those are, but stay tuned.
Okay,
who knows?
It's exciting. All this and more can be found there. Patrick, anything happening in your world? I know there's a lot going on, but anything in particular?
Because
you know podcasting is back. It's back with a vengeance. I don't know if you've heard.
I know you hate but you know.
I hate it.
There's been a lot of articles talking about podcasting and how it's coming back after being forgotten. And Scott is like, but I've been here the whole time.
We have been, and many others have been, and it wasn't ever forgotten, and it was doing nothing but growing.
As the 13th most influential person in media under 30, as said by UK National Press. Uh-huh. I think podcast is coming back.
All right.
I think podcasts are coming
back. Are you really the 13th
most... I'm the 13th most influential, under 30, person in media.
Who's at least, also called Terpster.
Yeah. Who's also me. Exactly.
Well, congratulations. I didn't know you were that.
Well, well exactly. I'm very influential, Patrick. Yeah. So I think I actually can make podcasting come back.
Yeah.
So if you would like that to be a thing, and then we can say to Scott, there you go, Scott. Don't worry. Podcasting.
And by the way, this is the second or third time everyone's claimed this. But whatever.
Regular people are just discovering it. And that's a good thing. And Scott.
Are they, though? Are they, Patrick?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
We need to have another pod. You and I need to have another podcast.
I realize, Scott, that in Utah, you don't get out much, so you don't know what the real world is.
Doesn't need to. He's got everything there. That's a problem.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
It's like being in the garrison. You know, you can just stay there and you've got everything.
An easy stereotype. Anyway, so what are you doing? What do you have? What's going on?
I am doing a ton of stuff. And the latest thing I did was the first real episode of my video game show called Pixels. And we did it with Veronica Belmont and Recky Thomason.
Oh.
And you can listen to that over at FrenchSpin.com. And it's a really fun and serious show about video gaming news. If you don't have time to, you know, go through every single piece of news that comes out, you can listen to the Boop Show first, of course.
Yeah.
And then you'll listen to the Pixels show, which will go into analysis and discussions on the topics
and rotating guests. I assume I'm excited about that, like regulars but rotating kind of thing.
Yes, exactly.
They're all going to be on chairs and just turn around slightly all the time. That'd be good.
I like it.
And Scott, I'm sure I'll invite you to be on at some point. I was going to say, I'm sure you'll be on.
Guaranteed.
But maybe you'll say, well, you know, since podcasting isn't back.
So, Scott, how many people listen to the Instance today?
80
versus
something.
Last year?
We're up
more or less,
probably close to 90,000. We're up about 10,000 over a year. Yeah.
So then, and then the year before that,
probably
gone up.
Yeah, gone like 70 over that.
So it's almost like it's increasing. Like more people are coming to that kind of medium and platform.
Yeah, yeah.
And thinking like, oh wow, podcast. This sounds great. About interest that I have.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. Catered entertainment.
Unbelievable.
Sounds great to me.
It's crazy. But some would just have you believe that it went away for a while. And now, because NPR people are into it, it's back.
You know what you should all do? Just, you know, to have...
In many ways, podcast has never been gone.
Yeah. So the conclusion of that entire discussion is that you should go to FrenchSpin.com to listen to Pixels.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right. I didn't want to derail that.
Good.
As always, you can follow this show more. Find us on the web at theinstance.net. We are.
Oh, and I'm not Patrick on Twitter.
Oh yeah, do that. Yeah, you're not Patrick. Terpster's _T. I'm Scott Johnson. Willie Dills is at Willie Dills, and the show is at Instance Show. Our theme was created by Matthew Oxley. Big thanks to our intern Paul Swickard for keeping up the website. And you can find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. There is so much more over there, so please go check it out. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Terpster, for Patrick, and for the likely sleeping Dills. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Now I'm going to go play all my alts in my garrisons that I secretly settle in the world. You know?
All I do is log in and farm stuff.
Interstellar the game.
Upon opening of the Emerald Dream, everyone gained a conscience.
they could easily do it.
Don't go too crazy. I mean, sheesh.
Yeah, it's a great thing. And it appears, Scott, that we're not alone.
For me, it was like crickets, alien attacks. And I turn over there and there's 8-foot robots, you know?
Not... Diablo, Malfail, Imperator.
Imperator Margok. What's funny?
And I'm 92 now.
Good Lord.
You look good for it. No. I mean, yeah, so I think it's so good.
Hey, you're keeping yourself together pretty well for 92.
Oh, come on. It's just dressing up like, you know what? Silly people.
Like, hey, I'm walking here. Yeah, I like it.
It's ridiculous.
And next you'll be saying, we'll land a satellite on a comet.
On a comet.
That was the greatest quest in the world. It would have sold tens of millions, but it would have also...
Hundreds of millions.
RNG, like non-stop RNG. RNG, baby. It's not a ton. It's just enough.
Oh, get to the point already. I was like, what?
Come here. So, there's that.
Hey, Instance guys. Huge fan. Been playing WoW for forever. Been listening to the podcast for years. huge, huge fan. Love everything you're doing. I have a question. I'm like almost 98, 99. Been loving this expansion. Way to go, Blizzard. And ever since I started this expansion, this has been bothering me. You know, when Thrall and Durotan first met for the first time, I was like, oh, crap, this is going to be some epic, dramatic moment where Thrall's going to say, Dad, and fall on his shoulder or whatever, and hug and cry and emotional and nothing. And all Thrall says is like, oh, yeah, he seems a little taller than I thought he would be. I'm wondering, am I missing something in the story? Is it maybe like, oh, I don't want to reveal who I am to this guy? Or is it, you know, does Thrall not realize that this is his dad yet? Is he trying to, like, is there going to be a big reveal coming up? Just wondering what you guys thought or if you guys had any actual information about this. It's been bothering me since the beginning. Anyways, great show. Love what you guys are doing. Later.
Necessity is the mother of a new secure storage invention. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. One large inconvenience for the brave members of the Draenor Expeditionary Force is the lack of access to good banking services. While they came through the portal with very little, many adventurers have managed to gather large amounts of strange and wondrous goods unique to this world. Finding places to securely store strange treasures such as Apexus crystals has presented a problem for many. But Troll Engineer MB didn't see a problem, she saw a challenge. Using the magical crystals themselves, she fashioned an in-ground vault, protected by a two-factor authentication system. The first layer of protection relied on the unique light-refracting properties of the crystals, which produced brilliant hues of the colors red, yellow, green, and blue. Those seeking to open the container must properly key in the color sequence of the owner's access code. But since access codes can be compromised, the second layer of protection is a breath analyzer keyed to the specific DNA of the owner. To complete the verification process, the user simply exhales gently over the crystals, or as MB described it, Simon. The vaults should be available in stores in time for Wintervale shopping. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Greetings, everyone. I'm Zarek from AIE, and this is The Outpost, your information for the most addicting feature of Warlords, Garrisons. First off, we'll cover basic information about your followers. Followers are NPC companions that you can obtain through quests, achievements, and vendors. Each follower has their own race and class, as well as abilities and traits. Abilities are used to counter enemy threats in garrison missions. Traits, on the other hand, give followers different bonuses, special counters for missions, or allows them to be assigned into a level 2 garrison building. Uncommon followers get one ability and one trait, rare get one ability and two traits, and epics get two abilities and three traits. It is possible to level your followers up past 100 to upgrade them from uncommon to rare and rare to epic. They will then randomly get the additional ability and/or trait accordingly. Followers can also be assigned to garrison buildings or level 2 or 3 if they have the appropriate profession trait, meaning followers with the alchemy trait can be assigned to the alchemy lab, enchanting to enchanter study, etc. Also, followers with the bodyguard trait will be able to be assigned to your level 2 or 3 barracks. From there, you can talk to them and have them join you as they will literally follow you around and fight alongside you. That wraps up this week's segment. Next week, I'll be covering garrison missions. If you have any questions, comments, or otherwise, contact me at zarikenvy@gmail.com. zarikenvy@gmail.com. Until next time, Loktar!
I'm just calling to say thank you. For your podcast. I was one of the early listeners. I think I started listening when you were in the teens, but I left the game about 3 years ago. And so when I decided to come back, I just started listening to your podcast because I remember listening to every podcast going into work. And so it kind of got me motivated to like play the game and then to like, you know, really, really enjoy the game more. So I'm just saying thank you guys and I'm happy to be listening again. And it's great. That's all. Bye.
Welcome, students, to Monk Meditation. The show about monks in the world of Warcraft.
This week's lesson, Windwalker Level 100 Talents. I'm Daikatsu from the Monk Meditation Podcast. Hurricane Strike. This ability costs 3 chi and will send you zipping towards random enemies within 12 yards of you doing damage with each strike. It will also make you immune to loss of control and movement impairing effects during the duration. While this seems good in concept, the cost of damage per chi is currently not worth it. Chi Explosion. This ability replaces Blackout Kick and will drain your current pool of chi up to 4 chi and give an effect based on chi consumed. At 1 chi, does damage to a target. This effect does more if additional chi is consumed. At 2 chi, adds an additional 50% damage over 6 seconds. At 3 chi, it will generate a charge of Tiger Eye Brew. At 4 chi, it will do the same amount of damage to all enemies within 8 yards of the target. This is the go-to talent for AoE fights. Gearing for this talent is different than normal, favoring haste more than any other step. Serenity. Popping this will immediately refund all chi used for the next 10 seconds. This will be strong for single-target fights, useful for burn phases, and also as an energy regen ability.
For more monk discussion, visit monkmeditation.com and subscribe to the podcast.
Welcome back to another Mega Minute with MegaCode, a minicast on all things Holy Paladin. This week I want to give my input on healing 5 band dungeons in preparation for the upcoming Tier 17 raid content. So first off, I want to say I'm having an absolute blast healing in these dungeons. The difficulty and boss mechanics are spot on. Now I'd have to say that they're, if not just as difficult as the Keta dungeons, they might just be slightly tougher, especially if you're using LFG. LOL. But we truly are triage healing and having to use the right spell for the right job. Otherwise, you'll find yourself running out of mana or having folks dip too low, causing a death or wipe. So like always, I throw Beacon of Light onto the tank. Most of my healing comes from spot healing the raid using my filler spells, Holy Light, Glyph Flash of Light, and Holy Shock when off cooldown. When my Infusion of Light procs, most of the time I throw out a quick Flash of Light onto someone needing a heal, followed by a boosted quick Holy Light onto that same person. Now, if we're grouped up, then I might use my Infusion of Light proc with a Holy Radiance if 4 or more party members need a heal, but very sparingly for fear of running out of mana. And once I've acquired 3 Holy Power, then I pop a Light of Dawn or Ward of Glory. Now, as far as our level 45 talents go, I played around with Eternal Flame, but at the moment, Sacred Shield is my default talent. I really like the mobility of being able to use this while on the move, and I can easily keep 3 up at all times. Level 75 talents, I have been going with Sanctified Wrath, Glyph with Merciful Wrath to have Avenging Wrath available every minute and a half. Now, as far as my level 100 talents go, for raids I plan to use Beacon of Faith for the second beacon, but in 5-mans I'm really liking Saved by the Light for that protective shield that's applied on the tank if their health dips too low. And with the crazy tank damage that's happening in these 5-mans, this talent really has earned its keep. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. It's truly all about triage healing, using the right spell for the right job, and managing your raid and healing throughput cooldowns. Now, I've said it before, and I'll say it one last time. If you're not using your hand spells, you're doing it wrong, especially Hand of Sacrifice and Hand of Protection. Some fights can actually benefit from Hand of Purity also, so just some things to think about. So I hope this helps out, and good luck. If you're on Twitter, come follow me at FFPMMark with a C, or check out my blog page at HealingSpec.com.
This is Casey with a music memory. They say that your sense of smell is the strongest of the 5 to be tied to memory. I find that a little bit funny, because you can't really smell a video game, yet. So many of my memories are tied to experiences I've had within them, perhaps with World of Warcraft most of all. When you take out my break times, I've been a subscriber for about 7.5 of the 10 years WoW has been a thing. Out of those 10 years, I've spent about 10% of my life in Azeroth. I remember what dungeon I was in when a president was elected, what boss I was raiding when he was re-elected, which patch we were on when I made new friends, and which patch I lost a few old ones. World of Warcraft has been there during some of the best and worst times of my life, and I hope it continues to be for a while longer.
I just want to say this is Tesla from Storm Reaver US, and I had a quick question about the BOA aspect of gearing. I was thinking that maybe it would be a good idea for Blizzard with all these garrisons, and you definitely want to level up your alts now with all the cool things that they can each do, especially with garrisons not being BOA, that maybe they make a set of, you know, not like heroic PvE tier and not prideful or the next PvP tier season of BOA gear, but like a lower tier that you can send to, hey, I have a 100 warlock, but I want to level my mage. Let me send not experience buffed BOAs, but better geared BOAs. Hey, I have a 100 Death Knight and a 100 Warrior, and my Death Knight has great gear, but not my Warrior. Let me send him some BOA gear and hopefully get him into some heroics.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mugra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, are you jealous of my garrison's outhouse because you do not have your own garrison? I am sure that I could request my own garrison at any time, but my good friend, former War Chief Thrall, asked me specifically to stay behind in Azeroth to help others. For the good of all Azeroth, he said to me, please do not follow us into the portal. Even respected Archmage Khadgar requested that Horde leaders keep my special abilities hidden safely away. Far, far away, I think he said. I may not have a garrison, but I have much advice to give here at Orgrimmar to Warchief Vol'jin. It is so secret that the Warchief has asked me not to speak out loud, but to think my advice in his direction telepathically, so only he will hear it. Clearly, Warchief Vol'jin is a masterful tactician and leader of the Horde. I am Miss Mulgrew, and that is my advice. Oh, come on, gosh. Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.